These days, there is growing discussion about a variety of health-related issues. How can we keep our balance in this important matter? Please give your attention to Brother Barry Wampler, Circuit Overseer from Texas, Circuit Number 17, as he develops the theme, Keep a Scriptural View of Health Care.
Getting sick and dying were not part of God's purpose for His human creatures. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, or Paradise of Pleasure, to cultivate it and to take care of it, not for a mere 70 or 80 years, but for eternity. Had they remained faithful to Jehovah and lovingly submitted to His sovereignty, they would never have known ill health and decrepitude. At Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, the Bible paints a vivid picture of the calamitous days that accompany old age in this imperfect world. White hair is compared to the blossom of the almond tree. Legs are likened to men of vital energy that now bend and totter. Ladies who go to a window in search of light and find only darkness are a fitting picture of dimming eyesight. Lost teeth are depicted as the grinding women who have quit working because they have become few. Shaky legs, failing eyesight, and toothless gums are simply not natural. The process of Adamic death is one of the works of the devil that the Son of God will break up by means of His messianic kingdom, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For the present, however, Jehovah's servants find themselves faced with the problems of ill health and aging that are common to fallen mankind. A reasonable concern about our health under such circumstances is natural and even beneficial. Do we not want to serve Jehovah with our whole strength? On the other hand, while seeking to remain reasonably healthy, we should be realistic and recognize that there is, in fact, very little that we can do to slow down the human aging process or avoid all sickness. The Bible contains many examples of faithful servants of Jehovah who had to contend with health problems. Epaphroditus was a trustworthy member of the Philippi congregation. However, at Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 27, we read what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning him. I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your envoy and private servant for my need, since he is longing to see all of you, and is depressed because you heard he had fallen sick. Yes, indeed, he fell sick nearly to the point of death. Then there was Paul's loyal companion, Timothy. Timothy had frequent bouts of stomach trouble, for which Paul recommended the use of a little wine. Another noteworthy case may be that of the Apostle Paul himself. He had to contend with what he described as a thorn in the flesh, possibly an eye affliction. Listen to Paul's words regarding his fervent plea to Jehovah as recorded at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. In this behalf I three times entreated the Lord that it might depart from me, and yet he really said to me, My undeserved kindness is sufficient for you, for my power is being made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast as respects my weaknesses, that the power of the Christ may like a tent remain over me. Verse 10 concludes, for when I am weak, then I am powerful. Jehovah did not miraculously relieve Paul of the thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, but he strengthened him to bear it. Jehovah's power became manifest in Paul's weakness. Could this contain a lesson for us? Conscious that perfect health is not yet attainable, we are wise to avoid letting health care become an obsession. Our attitude as Christians should differ from that of people who have no hope, who think that this life is all there is, and who will resort to any therapy in an attempt to cure their ailments. We are determined not to forfeit Jehovah's approval in order to save our present life. For we are convinced that if we remain faithful to Jehovah, we will get a firm hold on the real life, everlasting life, in His promised new system of things. We avoid excessive concern over our health for another reason. It could lead to our becoming self-centered. The Apostle Paul warned against this danger in his letter to the Philippians. Note this comment at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It reads, doing nothing out of contentiousness or out of egotism, but with lowliness of mind, considering that the others are superior to you, keeping an eye not in personal interest upon just your own matters, but also in personal interest upon those of the others. It is proper to take reasonable care of ourselves, but the keen interest we show in our brothers and in the people to whom we bring this good news of the kingdom will prevent us from being excessively preoccupied with our physical well-being. The danger exists that a Christian might let health concerns push kingdom interests into the background. Obsession with health care could also lead us to try to impose on others our personal opinions of the value of some therapy or food supplement. At Philippians 1:10, we find Paul's exhortation to the congregation in Philippi, make sure of the more important things so that you may be flawless and not be stumbling others up to the day of the Christ. Among the important things that we should not neglect is an active share in the work of spiritual healing accomplished by preaching and teaching of God's Word. This activity brings benefits to us and to those we teach. The Watchtower and Awake magazines occasionally include articles wherein our brothers and sisters who face crippling illnesses explain how they manage to forget temporarily their own problems by seeking, according to their circumstances, to help others to know Jehovah and His wonderful promises. You will find a list of such articles in the box on page 17 of the September 1st, 2003 issue of the Watchtower. When faced with a health problem, each Christian must carry his own load of responsibility in choosing medical treatment. We should remember, however, that our choice of therapies matters to Jehovah. Just as respect for Bible principles moves us to abstain from blood, So respect for God's word should impel us to avoid resorting to therapies that could harm us spiritually or affect our relationship with Jehovah. God's word warns us against seeking the assistance of those practicing what is hurtful. Some diagnostic and therapeutic procedures seem to border on the use of the uncanny. To apostate Israelites who resorted to uncanny power or spiritistic practices, Jehovah said, as recorded at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, "When you spread out your palms, I hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I am not listening." A period of illness is no time to do something that might hinder our prayers. When we are sick, we cannot expect Jehovah to heal us miraculously, but we can pray for divine wisdom in choosing proper treatment. At the same time, we should seek to be guided in our choice by Bible principles and good sense. When the case is serious, it may be wise to consult several specialists, in line with the idea at Proverbs 15, verse 22, which states, "There is a frustrating of plans where there is no confidential talk, but in the multitude of counselors there is accomplishment." At Titus 2, 12 and 13, we find the Apostle Paul's advice to true Christians, "Live with soundness of mind and righteousness and godly devotion amid this present system of things while we wait for the happy hope." People in this present system of things are increasingly preoccupied with health problems. This is where our soundness of mind and our adherence to Bible principles come into play. Many today find themselves in a situation similar to that of a sick woman in Jesus' day. At Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 6, we read about such a case. It says there, "There was a woman subject to a flow of blood, 12 years, and she had been put to many pains by many physicians and had spent all her resources and had not been benefited, but rather had got worse." Desperate, some may be tempted to choose diagnostic or therapeutic methods that go against the principles of true worship. Satan is cunning. He will resort to any means to distract Jehovah's servants from true worship. Just as he uses sexual immorality and materialism to cause some to stumble, Satan tries to breach the integrity of others by means of questionable treatments that amount to the use of occult powers and spiritism. Since we pray to Jehovah to deliver us from the wicked one and from every sort of lawlessness, we should not play into Satan's hands by exposing ourselves to anything that borders on spiritism and the occult. According to Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, Jehovah told the Israelites, "There should not be found in you anyone who employs divination, a practicer of magic, or anyone who looks for omens, or a sorcerer. For everybody doing these things is something detestable to Jehovah." True, that warning was given to the Israelites, but at Galatians 5, 19 and 20, we find that the Apostle Paul lists the practice of spiritism among the works of the flesh. Furthermore, Revelation 21, verse 8 states that those practicing spiritism will have no part in Jehovah's new system of things. Clearly, anything that smacks of spiritism is detestable in Jehovah's eyes. So then, if there are doubts about some diagnostic or therapeutic procedure, it would be wise to reject it. On the other hand, the mere fact that a health technique may defy one's ability to explain how it works does not in itself mean that it involves some form of spiritism. Keeping a scriptural view of health care requires divine wisdom and good judgment on our part. At Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 21 and 22, we find this admonition. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, take notice of Him, and He Himself will make your path straight. Safeguard practical wisdom and thinking ability, and they will prove to be life to your soul and charm to your throat. So while endeavoring to keep as healthy as possible as we serve Jehovah, we must be careful to not lose His favor as we attempt to cope with sickness or the aging process. In health care, as in other matters, we should let our reasonableness become known to all men by living in accord with Bible principles. Interestingly, in a letter to the early Christians, the first century governing body instructed them to abstain from idolatry, blood, and fornication. Their decree included the assurance, if you carefully keep yourselves from these things, you will prosper. In what way? Each of us does well to ask himself, do I fully appreciate the extent to which I have personally prospered because of my strict observance of Bible principles regarding blood and fornication? Think, too, of the benefits that have come to us as a result of our efforts to cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit. By adhering to Bible standards regarding personal hygiene, we avoid many physical ailments. We prosper for shunning the spiritually and physically defiling use of tobacco and other illicit drugs. Consider also the health benefits that result from moderation in eating and drinking in line with the direction found at Titus 2, 2 and 3 and Proverbs 23, verse 20. Getting sufficient rest and exercise also contributes to our physical well-being. Indeed, we have prospered physically and spiritually in so many ways because of our adherence to scriptural directives. Above all, we should take care of our spiritual health and strengthen our precious relationship with our Father Jehovah, the source of our life now and that which is to come in His promised new world. In God's new system of things, full spiritual and physical healing will be brought about by means of forgiveness of sin on the basis of Jesus' ransom sacrifice. The Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, will guide us to fountains of waters of life, and God will wipe out every tear from our eyes. The thrilling prophecy of Isaiah 33, verse 24 will become a glorious reality. No resident will say, I am sick. The people that are dwelling in the land will be those pardoned for their error. Jehovah's Witnesses are convinced that deliverance is at hand. We eagerly await the day when Jehovah will reverse the process of human sickness and death. In the meantime, we are assured that our loving Father will help us endure the burden of our aches and pains because, as 1 Peter 5:7 states, He cares for us. Let us therefore take care of our health, but always in accord with the clear guidelines contained in God's inspired Word.